Good morning, Bill Lynch with the CBS World News Roundup. Only 11 budget bargaining days remain before the government's new fiscal year, and negotiators will try once again today to break the impasse over President Bush's insistence on a capital gains tax cut. Linda Tyra sets the stage.
Congressional leaders say the budget talks have not collapsed, but are simply moving to a different stage. Today, as they did yesterday, House and Senate leaders will meet with administration officials to decide the next step. Democrats, including Charles Schumer, say no deal is possible as long as Republicans led by President Bush continue to press for a capital gains tax cut.
This is an ideological obsession of the right wing of the Republican Party, and unfortunately, the president has yielded to it.
But Republican Newt Gingrich says it's all baloney.
It has to be deliberate disinformation by the Democratic leadership. I mean, they know better. They know this isn't true.
Still, differences have been narrowed over spending cuts in defense and domestic programs, and both sides are looking at increased alcohol and cigarette taxes and a new tax on luxury consumer goods. Linda Tyra, CBS News, Capitol Hill.
Iraq has ratcheted the Gulf economic war, the state-run Iraqi news agency saying Saddam Hussein's government has frozen all cash and property of countries honoring the UN-ordered trade embargo of Baghdad. That new law applies to private and government-owned companies and banks. It's not clear just how much money is involved. The French Foreign Ministry says two more French nationals were seized this week by Iraqi troops in Kuwait, where a spokesman says the situation is worsening. The last seizure of French citizens was answered with the dispatch of 4,200 French troops to Saudi Arabia. A pessimistic UN Secretary General Javier Perez de Cuellar says he fears the Persian Gulf crisis holds the seeds of World War III. He says it could also disrupt the global economy.
Not only a political conflagration, but as well an economic disaster for the whole world.
The UN Security Council is drawing up a plan to expand the Iraq embargo to include supplies brought by air. 9 West European nations have endorsed the air embargo. Meanwhile, Argentina is the latest nation to join the Persian Gulf naval blockade. Efforts continue to achieve a so-called Arab solution to the Gulf crisis. Anthony Mason has that from Amman, Jordan.
Jordan's King Hussein, trying to rebuild momentum for an Arab solution to the Gulf crisis, headed for Morocco today. He'll meet with King Hassan and Algerian President Ben Jadid. King Hussein is reportedly carrying a proposal that would include the replacement of Iraqi troops in Kuwait by UN forces and deployment of Arab troops in Saudi Arabia instead of foreign forces. PLO Chairman Yasser Arafat, who met with Saddam Hussein Monday, has said that the Iraqi leader is willing to meet with Saudi Arabia's King Fahd or UN Secretary General Perez de Cuellar to reach a political settlement. Meanwhile, pressure continues to build on Jordan. The number of refugees crossing from Iraq doubled overnight. Relief workers believe refugees have heard conditions in the camps have improved and are deciding the time is right to cross the border. Anthony Mason, CBS News, Amman.
More Western women and children are expected to fly out of Kuwait today and on to London after a stop in Baghdad. It's not known how many, but a 440-seat Iraqi jumbo jet has been chartered for them. In the last 2 weeks, Saddam Hussein has put more troops in and near Kuwait than the U.S. has deployed in Saudi Arabia. Jim Stewart at the Pentagon reports the Iraqi force there now numbers 360,000 men.
The latest Iraqi troop estimates are in, and the news is not good. They appear to reflect a swap between armored units, which are the offensive teeth of Baghdad's million-man army, and infantry divisions, which are necessary for long-term occupation of a conquered land. What this means for the estimated 150,000 American soldiers and a growing number of multinational forces in Saudi Arabia is a more entrenched opponent. For despite virtual nonstop U.S. troop and equipment arrivals, the Allied forces remain at a numerical disadvantage, one that only technical superiority can overcome. Beyond simply facing more Iraqis than before, U.S. commanders on the ground almost certainly have to read something else, too, in the latest intelligence estimates. If Saddam Hussein is giving any thought at all to backing down, there is no sign of it at the front lines. Jim Stewart, CBS News, the Pentagon.
From the front in Saudi Arabia today, more evidence that even without war, military life is dangerous business. Scott Pelley reports.
The first U.S. soldier to be hit by gunfire in Operation Desert Shield was wounded today during an exercise in eastern Saudi Arabia. The Army describes the injury as minor. This morning, during desert training with live ammunition, a 105-millimeter artillery shell was fired and exploded 90 degrees off target near a group of journalists and infantrymen. Shrapnel hit the shoulder and the leg. No one else was injured. The accident is under investigation, and the soldier's name is being withheld. But it is the latest in a number of mishaps among U.S. forces here. In the last 5 weeks, two military jets have gone down, two helicopters have crashed, and there have been a number of serious vehicle accidents. At least 15 U.S. servicemen have been killed already in Operation Desert Shield. Scott Pelley, CBS News, Saudi Arabia.
CIA Director William Webster told a New York audience last night his analysts expect growing dissatisfaction among aides to Saddam Hussein as the trade embargo pinches further. Webster, for the record, said he does not advocate Saddam's overthrow. The first meeting of a new body designed to end Cambodia's 11-year civil war has collapsed in Bangkok. Rick Fredrickson reports.
For 3 days, the newly formed Cambodian Supreme National Council squabbled, most of the time spent in their own hotel rooms with Thai mediators trying to find compromise. Unable to agree on the makeup of the council, they never even discussed a ceasefire or the United Nations blueprint for peace. Cambodian Prime Minister Hun Sen insisted the meeting is not over yet, only adjourned, but he then flew home. A befuddled Western diplomat accused the Cambodians of having a negative approach from the start, suggesting the conflict might now be taken back to the battlefield with new passion. Rick Fredrickson for CBS News, Bangkok.
At least 82 people were hurt in a clash between Canadian troops searching for weapons and Mohawk Indians at the Kanawaki Reservation in Montreal. The soldiers fired tear gas. Mohawks punched and kicked soldiers who used rifle butts and fists. In Massachusetts' gubernatorial primary, voters opted for anti-politicians, rejecting Democratic insider Francis Bellotti in favor of Boston University's outspoken president, John Silber.
Our campaign is a campaign for change, for an end to traditional politics in which the needs and wishes of the people are subordinated to the pet schemes and small ambitions of politicians who have lost sight of their obligation as public servants.
In November, Silber will face Republican William Weld, a former federal prosecutor. In Oklahoma's gubernatorial runoff, Democrat David Walters and Republican Bill Price slipped past their opponents, and voters approved a first-in-the-nation constitutional amendment that limits state lawmakers to 12 years in office. The nation's building slump continued for a seventh month as August housing starts fell 1.7%. Last month was the industry's worst August in 8 years. The dollar is higher overseas. London gold is up $1.20. And on Wall Street, the Dow Industrial Average is down 2.73 at 2568.56.